Hey everyone, GeekAid and the Colon Cancer Alliance are teaming up once again for the Pain in the Assathon 2017, featuring games like Comic Zone, Mega Man Unlimited, and Zelda Wand of Gamelon. Several GeekAid personalities, including Dan, myself, and Genghis, and Evan, and Dean, will be playing Pain in the Ass video games to raise money for colon cancer research and prevention. The event will begin at 10 a.m. on August 5th and end at 10 a.m. August 6th. That's 24 hours of nonstop pain in the ass video games. Stay tuned to Geekade.com for more details.
Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 160 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast for the week of July 28th, 2017. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me, as always, is surprise stock of NES Classic Editions, Dan Ryan.
They were right here. They were back. They were on the boat with all the amiibos. That's where they were, Chris. We found them.
It's once again time for the 10-20-30, but before we go any further, here is your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. So, Dan.
So, Chris.
A while back, ThinkGeek was bought by GameStop, and I said to myself, crap, now I can't shop at ThinkGeek anymore because I hate GameStop.
Sure.
And, you know, I liked ThinkGeek stuff, but if they were owned by GameStop, I'm out because eventually they're going to do something scuzzy. And lo and behold, oh, we've got thousands of these things. We were just sitting on them. Now we're going to sell them in exclusive bundles only. Did you see these bundles, Dan?
I did. The cheapest one, honestly, isn't that bad. It's not.
Well,
however,
yeah, I mean, we're talking $139.99,
which is double the price of the original one.
Yes, double the price of the original, with three vinyl box art wall scrolls, a piranha plant puppet, and a Legend of Zelda puzzle.
That's not terrible. I mean, like,
if I suppose it's not terrible, but I don't know that I want any of those other things.
No,
and
sure.
And do those other things, which I was listening to. Go Nintendo does a Today's Big Story thing,
right?
And yesterday they talked about this, and it turns out that a lot of these bundles, those pieces individually, cost less than the price of the bundles.
Of course they do.
Usually when they bundle something together, you save like $5 overall.
Not when it's an NES Classic Edition.
So just for poops and giggles, these are the rest, if you missed all of them, because they sold out in 20 minutes.
Of course they did.
These ridiculous overpriced bundles still sold out in 20 minutes, which baffles me. But the rest of the bundles were for $149.99. The bundle comes with a Tetris stackable LED desk lamp and the book Playing with Power.
Mm-hmm.
So that's $149. Also for $149, you could get the NES Classic with the Playing with Power book, Mario Question Block lamp, and World 1-2 puzzle. Mm-hmm. Then for $159.99, you could get a bundle with a Sheikah Slate sketchbook, a Zelda Shield backpack, and a Zelda travel mug.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get an NES Classic Edition and a bunch of Breath of the Wild merchandise.
Makes a lot of sense
to me.
Those
two are related.
Yeah,
$169.99, get the bundle.
$100 more. That's the key piece here. This is now.
Wasn't it $59.99?
I thought it was $69. I don't know. I don't have one. Because fuck you, that's why I don't have one. We're talking $100 more.
Yeah, at least $100 more. Mega Man helmet replica and collectible enamel pin set.
But, Chris.
Yeah.
This was not, am I wrong? This was the small Mega Man helmet replica.
This is not the wearable one.
This isn't the one that will fit on your fucking head. This is the one.
like the cat helmet from the Halo Special Edition.
Yeah, this is like the thing I got in a loot crate like a year and a half ago. I got a green one. It's awesome. It's not $100 awesome, though. Like, no. I gotta, just being honest.
So, and then we get the piece de resistance for $219.99. $220 bundle with Mega Man helmet, that's the wearable one, yep. Proto Man Buster, and Mega Buster mug.
20 fucking minutes.
20 minutes this stuff sold out. This look, is, let's look, bundle this with the stuff we couldn't sell. Ugh.
I don't advocate piracy. But.
But you do.
But. Nobody's losing any money. Obviously, if this shit sold out in 20 minutes, people are still willing to buy it when it's available. Get yourselves a Raspberry Pi and enjoy all of this hooked up to your fucking television.
You know what? You actually bring up a really interesting point that I'd like to talk about at great length at some point, which is not tonight.
Okay.
But my friend Sal and I just got a Raspberry Pi.
Right.
And that answer is not as easy as everyone makes it sound. And that's one of the things that bothers me so much about the NES Classic Edition being so hard to get. Mm-hmm. Because it's not like you just buy a Raspberry Pi, plug it in, and you're good to go. You've got to do a bunch of stuff. Yeah, I still haven't gotten wireless controllers to work with my Raspberry Pi. I still can't get that to work. I don't know why. Nobody knows why, Dan.
Plug in the adapter, Chris.
I did plug in the adapter. I bought a Bluetooth adapter, and that doesn't work either. It's a big, fat, hairy mystery. I've got three people who have functioning Raspberry Pis working on it. But it's not like you just go there and download everything, and it's as simple as that. It kind of is, but it kind of isn't. The thing's finicky. It's not super user-friendly. Adding games to it is not super easy. It is to some people, but for the general populace, something like the NES Classic Edition is plug and play. You plug it in your TV and you play the games that are there. You buy a Raspberry Pi, you tell somebody who doesn't know shit about shit, your average Bed Bath & Beyond customer, go buy a Raspberry Pi. They're going to go to Amazon, they're going to buy a Raspberry Pi, a circuit board's going to show up in the mail, they're going to be like, okay, now what?
Okay, well, then don't buy a Raspberry Pi. Use one of the seven computers that is currently collecting dust in your house somewhere. I promise you it's good enough to play NES games on your television.
Yes, there are definitely ways around it, but there's a conversation that I've definitely been wanting to have about the fact that you see this on every single post about these things. Anything emulation or I can't get this game, like, just buy a Raspberry Pi, it's easy. Well, maybe it was easy for you because you know what you're doing, but it's not that easy. I bought the thing, and it took a long time to download the image on it, and now I should have all the stuff, but you have to unlock certain ones that aren't... if you download a different image that has a bunch of stuff on it, then ColecoVision and Television are apparently on there, but I have to go switch them on because they function differently, and it is confusing. There is a lot to it, or a little to it, but it's not as easy as that.
We should have Mr. Much on to discuss that. I believe he knows a lot about computers.
He does. He is one of the people that's been helping me with my Pi, and he has absolutely no idea why it's not working for me. It's like, the menu system works perfectly with the wireless controllers. They sync up. I can select games and move around in the menu, but as soon as a game starts, the only thing that works is the buttons. No analog stick, no D-pad.
I have a USB controller currently into my computer that plays just fine.
My expired Xbox 360 controller plays everything on the Pi just fine. So I can use it. That's how I'm playing Crystalis and Karnov for the summer series.
Right.
So I can use the thing. It's just I can't get the wireless controllers to work on it, which is kind of what I want.
That's so weird.
I have... Yeah, it is really weird. It's freaking bizarre. Dean doesn't know what's wrong. My buddy Sal doesn't know what's wrong. And Matt doesn't know what's wrong.
Did you set up in the emulator program? Like, you went through and set all the buttons?
Yeah, I set all the buttons.
Okay.
And that's how I got around RetroPie itself. The menu functions fine. So the Raspberry Pi is connecting to the Bluetooth controller. But if a game starts, nothing. Except buttons. Like, I'll start Super Mario Brothers, and I can press start, and I can jump. But I can't move Mario.
Well, fuck him. I mean, you don't really need to.
That's I can just wait till that Goomba finds its way to me, that's jump on him, and then stand there until time runs out. It's great.
I get the high score every time.
Donkey Kong Country, I just keep rolling so I can move forward.
So 20 minutes all of these fucking things sold out.
Absolutely ridiculous. 20 and God this damn is such minutes. A scuzzy. They didn't just get these in.
No, they
GameStop's
had them forever.
Been sitting on them. They're like, oh no, we're all sold out. We're all sold out. We don't have any. No prayer, blah, 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 blah. They've just been sitting on them so that they could do this. And it is gross.
You're all, and I say this with love, puppets for continuing to spend this much money on old shit. Stop it.
If you're willing to spend that much money on it, like at that point, because that's the other piece of the NES Classic Edition. It's got 30 games on it, but it's
which
also,
isn't enough.
It's less than a Raspberry Pi. But if you're willing to spend $220 to get one of these things, hire somebody to set up your Pi for you so it is plug and play.
Yeah, it's just you got to stop spending money on this shit. You do.
No matter who you are,
everybody has to stop. Like, don't stop collecting stuff. That's fine, but like when all of the retro games start coming out on the Switch, don't pay $5 for Super Mario Brothers again. Don't fucking do it. Game's not worth $5 anymore. It hasn't been worth $5 in 25 years. Don't fucking do it again, because they're just gonna keep doing it. It's fucking ridiculous.
I've only paid $5 for that game once, and that was when it came out on the Wii Virtual Console.
That was too recent.
I disagree. I think that game was well worth it. It was the first time that I was able to play Super Mario Brothers on my TV via component cables. And with the suspense state, I thought it was great. It was very solid emulation. When it came out on the Wii U, they allowed me to transfer my purchase straight over or upgrade it to the Wii U version for $1. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And then I got it on the 3DS as part of the Ambassador program. But that was it. I would not have paid another $5 for that on the Wii U, and I won't pay another $5 for it on Switch.
I mean, $20 for the Game Boy Classic Edition, but
yeah, but that was a different time. that was a different time, and that was a different animal. That was pure collectability, and honestly, that was the Game Boy Advance. I mean, it was a foolish purchase. Don't get me wrong, but it was such a collectible thing. Because you had Super Mario Brothers Deluxe on Game Boy Color, which was way better. It was it was the whole game plus most of the lost levels plus a bunch of extra stuff in it. And it was still portable, but yeah. Super NES Classic comes out, I will pay retail for that thing, but I'm not going to pay a penny more if I
don't
can't
even
get
do
it
that.
In retail.
Oh well, no, I guess for Star Fox,
I'm buying that for Star Fox.
Yeah, do you have it pre-ordered?
No, nobody does anymore.
Then get off the fucking podcast and go get in line, Chris. You're not getting one. When does that shit come out? November? Quit your job. Fuck it. You just bought a house. It's fine.
Did you hear about that? That Walmart canceled all pre-orders?
Yeah, it's awesome.
There was some kind of glitch in the system. They're like, I'm sorry. We weren't supposed to do this. That is just delicious. I felt so bad that I missed the Walmart pre-orders, and now I don't.
Yeah. I mean, or... You know, like, you could, like, give it a week until that's hacked and Star Fox 2 is just up for emulation. I mean, again, I don't advocate piracy, but there are ways.
Yeah, there's going to be ways for me to get Star Fox 2, but at the same time, the first time Nintendo sells Star Fox 2, I want to see if I can get it. Yeah, I'm not going to be totally heartbroken and devastated if I don't get one, but I do want one.
I am positive that that game will come out on Virtual Console at some point.
I would like to be as well.
Absolutely.
But absolutely Nintendo's going to Nintendo, dude.
That's true.
Mother 3 still ain't here.
Mother 4, however, is coming.
There's no way that they don't know that there's solid demand for that game. They're like, nah. Oh,
they probably don't.
Nah.
To be fair, they probably don't.
They probably don't. The people that literally have told Reggie to his face, he's just like, nah.
Nah, I don't believe you.
I don't believe you.
Reggie just pulls a Syphil and Ollie. Like, they're like, Reggie, so we want Mother 3. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And they're like, Reggie, no, like we really want Mother 3. He's like, whatever, man.
But this is my award, United States of whatever.
I got the tube now. That's fine. Whatever.
I lived in Seattle. Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Freaking love that show.
Nobody else thinks that's nearly as funny as you and I do, and I don't give a shit. It's hysterical. I was talking to Kiki.
She's like, and I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, this is an excellent podcast so far. Look, we're at episode 160. I mean, just come on now.
Man, and we actually have shit to talk about. Real quick, do you have any like game stuff that you want to talk about or before we jump into the 10, 20, 30? Because I actually do have a few other... I had to vent about this ThinkGeek thing because it made me so mad.
It's really crazy. It's really stupid. Like, I don't care for it. No, the only game thing I have is that the greatest card possibly ever in the history of Puzzle and Dragons was my reward for beating the reward. I don't even know what that word is. My reward for beating the one shot challenge today. And like usually when I jump into those, I'm like, all right, I'm going to try this and like waste a little bit of stamina, like learning the dungeon and the mechanics and all that and see what I have to do. And I was like, oh, I'm done. That's awesome. But the boss that dropped for me today was the distant sea dragon Whaledor. And he's just a big fucking blue and yellow whale. He's awesome. Fucking love everything about him. Just a giant blue whale with 5 skill boosts. He's fucking great. Makes me really happy.
All right.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. So, you know, there's that.
Well, tomorrow, because we record this on Wednesdays, tomorrow Overcooked finally lands on Switch. Mm-hmm. So I am very excited to get my hands on that. Did you play Overcooked on PS4?
I did not.
I really should. It's fan-freaking-tastic. How do we live in a universe where I've played a PS4 game that you haven't? That doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't.
It shouldn't even be physically possible.
It's not possible. Yet somehow it exists. I did see on my flight home from Denver on Monday, I was kind of like seat creeping the dude who was sitting in front of me, and he had a Switch and he was playing Breath of the Wild, and I was like, oh, that's pretty fucking dope. Good for you, man.
I want to play that game some more, but that's
it's a long flight, so you would have had time. Well, especially it feels even longer because I left Denver at 11:30 and landed in Philadelphia at 5 o'clock because there's a 2-hour time difference. So like even though the flight's not that long, I still got here at dinner time. Son of a bitch. I lost 2 hours out of my life today. Fucked up. Anyway, Denver was nice.
Well, that speaking to my problem
Overcooked.
Of wanting to play more of Zelda, it's like, well, there was that DLC in ARMS, which I've barely even sniffed because Splatoon 2 came out.
Right.
And I'm playing that. I'm playing a lot of it. I'm really, really liking that game. The single player campaign is fantastic. It's
what I've heard.
It's even more clever than the first one. And it kind of picks up where the first one left off. It's like, all right, you know all that stuff from the first game. So we're just going to do even weirder shit now.
And, we're just going to be strange now.
It's just all these weird things, like there are these carpet things that you shoot and they roll out like a carpet, but then the bad guys shoot it, they roll back in, and there's like these targets you shoot that they spin around and they make blocks move around, and it's so ridiculous. And I'm having a blast with the online stuff. I'm still not great at it.
Sure.
I messed around with one of the new guns, at least I think it's a new gun. It's like a chain gun, and which you'd think is great, except it runs out of ammo super fast. And, like, you have to charge it up. So, I don't know. I could not get good with that chain gun. I just couldn't make it happen. I tend to just stick to just a regular splat gun. Mm-hmm. Because the splat dualies are really cool, but they don't reach very far. And I'm more of a guy, when I'm playing the online matches, I'm more the guy who just tries to cover ground.
Right.
And, like, don't really get into fights too often. Mm-hmm. And when I do, I'm probably about, like, you know, I have, like, a 40% win rate when I get into an actual fight with somebody. Because there's just people who are really good at this game, but people tend to like go right for the middle and start fighting one another, and I'm just like, cool, I'll be claiming all this color for our team because you guys are busy fighting. I'm gonna just start coloring shit in because that's how you win.
You play the support role, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I do. I play the support role, and I love doing it. But there's a couple of things about the game that are irking me. Thing number one is that there is no local multiplayer still, and that really bothers me.
That's
especially
really
for
dumb.
This game.
Yeah,
because it's the Switch. That's the whole. That's one of the biggest points of this thing is crack off the Joy-Cons and you've got built-in local multiplayer. I don't understand why there's no split screen in this game. And there's like the argument to be made, like, well, it's real important your position and stuff. Like, you know what? That didn't kill GoldenEye back in the day.
Like, come on.
We can live with that. For that is a price I'm willing to pay for local multiplayer, because while it wouldn't really do much for me, because Karen's not gonna play this game with me,
right.
Dave, who writes for our site, he wants to play this with his son, and he bought the game thinking he could, because why wouldn't he be able to? But there is no local multiplayer. It's only online, and that's kind of bothersome to me.
That's kind of dumb.
It is. The other thing that's really irking me is that I can't reassign the controls, and there's nothing wrong with the controls. It's
sure.
Other than the fact that they're kind of reversed from Splatoon 1 and Zelda. So in Zelda, X jumps. In Splatoon 1, X jumps. In Splatoon 2, X is your map, and B jumps. So it's like, if I'm switching back and forth between playing Zelda and Splatoon, I really got to get in this weird mindset of being like, wrong button. I keep trying to jump and I'm opening up my map. And
That's annoying.
It is annoying. And I don't know why I can't customize my controls to that extent. Because, like, you can customize your motion controls and all kinds of other jazz like that. I turn the motion controls off still because I got so used to them in Zelda, and I think they're great in Zelda, but I think it's because they're so subtle. Like, you aim with your analog stick when you fine-tune with the motion controls, and that's wonderful. But in Splatoon, it's like, it's all motion all the time, and I can't wrap my head around that. I'm shooting in different directions constantly, and I want to turn, and I'm like turning the controller upside down behind my head, and it's like, it doesn't work for me, and I get that's probably why I'm losing a lot, because the pros of this game seem to swear by the motion controls, you know, because it's not waggle, it's tilt, it's aiming, and I get that, but I'm just dual analoging it, which I've gotten better at. I've never been all that good at, but those are my small gripes for Splatoon 2. All in all, it's really freaking good, and Overcooked's coming out tomorrow, and I still have a ton to do in the Zelda DLC, and I was just playing ARMS yesterday for like 20 minutes, and it's still super fun. And that's like, I know this isn't a problem for most people, but I have too much shit to play right now, and I'm thankfully nothing huge is coming out for me until October with Super Mario Odyssey, so I have time to...
You've got some time.
I've got some time to finish these up.
I mean, I would wager that is a huge problem for a lot of people now, because like there's always sales on stuff, like with digital games and whatnot, and like at least for PS4 and Xbox owners, you know, you get a couple free games every month, and like they just announced the free games for PS Plus for August, and it is like just cause
Tekken 7 is one of them.
No,
it's not a free game. That's just discounted.
Yeah. But, like, it is Just Cause 3, which is this huge open world game that looks really fun, and a standalone Assassin's Creed 4, the DLC standalone thing that they had for that. And it's like, well, I haven't finished the last round of shit. You know what I mean? Like, I have this gigantic backlog of stuff that I'm never going to get to. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've still got a handful of levels left in Snake Pass. I still have all the DLC in Blaster Master. Like, I started playing through it with Shantae, and I didn't even finish playing through it with Gunvolt yet.
Yeah.
And Shovel Knight's going to come out, and I'm going to want to play through it with that. And
I haven't even gotten that.
I haven't even touched Shovel Knight yet, for crying out loud. Like, the whole Spectre of Torment thing, I haven't even touched that yet.
Yeah, like, it's just crazy, but... Ugh.
It's so good. I have a lot of games for my Switch, and that's really awesome.
Good problems to have, Chris.
Indeed. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into our feature topic now that we're like 45 minutes into our episode. However long we've been at this, I don't even know. So 10, 20, 30, you know, talking about the games that came out 10, 20, and 30 years ago. We're talking about the month of July, 2007, 1997, and 1987. And there's some good stuff in the back half of this episode.
There really is. Let's blow through this bullshit.
Let's blow through 2007.
10 years ago.
Notable games from 10 years ago. Ninja Gaiden Sigma for PS3.
Yeah, whatever. No, I mean, that's unfair.
It was a good game, but it was, you know, this was a port of the advanced port of, what was it? It was Xbox.
It was Xbox exclusive.
It was Xbox exclusive. Then they did Ninja Gaiden Black, which was like the fancy edition of that same game. Mm-hmm. And Ninja Gaiden Sigma was the fancier version of the fancy version of Ninja Gaiden.
Right. And like, if you look at some of the artwork for that game, it says only on PS3. It's like, well...
kind of. I mean, the only one that's called Ninja Gaiden Sigma is on PS3.
I mean, this game was awesome. Like, I loved the original Ninja Gaiden. It was so fucking hard.
It was. So and hard. It was the kind of hard that you knew that you done fucked up. Like, when you were done, when you died in that game, it wasn't from some cheap death from, like, I don't know, a bird that flies out of nowhere and takes three chunks of health off you, like the original Ninja Gaiden, God damn it. No, this was like, you'd be in a room with these ninjas that are throwing these kunai at you that stick to you and then explode 4 seconds later, and you're fighting five of them at a time in a well, and then you beat, like, four of them, and then you're getting ready to do the death blow on the fifth one, and all of a sudden you explode, and you're like, fuck, I missed that one.
Yep.
And you just remember, you pinpoint exactly when that was. The only gripe I had was that the story was complete swill.
Oh, and sure.
The original Ninja Gaiden's on NES, that was like one of their strong suits. Now, granted, it's like not high art by, you know, adult standards, but when you're a kid, cool.
Yeah.
It was super cool. And even now, the it looks fantastic. And
yeah, they still kind of hold up.
Yeah, they do. The weirdo, I don't know, the mutant designs in the new Ninja Gaiden I didn't care for. I did really like Ryu's redesign. I thought his costume,
because
his outfit was very good, and he moved really well. The Ninja Gaiden was such a good reboot, and I didn't play 2 or 3. I heard they really went downhill from there, though.
They really did. They really,
like, 2, like, I heard was like a disappointment, but still solid, and then 3 I heard was just garbage.
Yeah, 3 is not good.
There was a point where the Wii U version was on sale at Walmart for $4, and I went to go buy it, but they wouldn't honor the online price, and I said, fuck it. And then I never went back since.
It was $4 too much. It was trash. But no, this one was really cool, and like the weapons Ryu could get were really cool, and like it was just fun. I really liked it. He did move really, really well. Like, it was a blast to play through it.
It was. It didn't have much, if any, connective tissue to Ninja Gaiden.
No,
which kind of bothered me. But at the same time, it was you know, because if you're going to modernize a classic game, there should be some sort of connective tissue. But there wasn't anything about this game that played like the original Ninja Gaiden, other than the fact that you were a ninja, and there's some sort of ninja art magic that you can use. But, you know, there were no story elements that were similar. There were no gameplay elements that were similar. It was just a brand new, awesome ninja game.
Yeah, it was super fucking fun. I liked it a whole lot.
It was. Speaking of super fucking fun, Parappa the Rapper came out on PSP.
It's Parappa the Rapper.
Yeah, it was great. Just a PS1 game on PSP. I don't give a shit. It's fun. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. The PS4 one is good, too. Still the same fucking game. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's just Parappa the Rapper. I don't care.
It's really
in the
awesome.
Rain or in the snow. Got the funky flow.
Well, like, it's just, it's one of those rhythm games that is, like, it's just, it's so charming. It, like, all of the songs are just really good.
You know, they're just, we're here. We're sitting in the car. I still have the whole damn game memorized, and I haven't played it in years.
It's just so weird.
It's pure charm.
But the art style was really, really cool. Like the super flat character designs, and they were endearing characters, and like the Parappa beanie was like a big deal for a little while. You know, the orange beanie with the frog on it, and
yeah. How are the sequels? Like, I never played Jammer or Parappa 2. I heard Parappa 2 wasn't very good.
But I heard Jammer
was really underrated.
I don't remember liking Parappa 2. I haven't played it in so long, though. I it's not really fair. Jammer Lammy was really cool, though. I dug it.
I wonder if Parappa 2 is one of those games that got harshly judged because it wasn't Parappa 1. Like, I wonder if it's one of those things that if I went back to try to play it now, I wonder if I even have that game.
That's probably true, but like, when you do get a PS4, it is absolutely worth getting the Parappa remaster. I mean, like, it's kind of like, have you seen much with the Crash Bandicoot remaster?
I have.
Not gameplay wise, because I never really loved the Crash games to begin with. They just really weren't my thing. It just looks so much fucking better. Like, it's stunning.
It does, yeah. It really and does look a lot better.
You don't realize it until they show, like, in the trailer when they do, like, the George Lucas swipe across the screen.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, that was fucking dog shit. You know, same thing with Parappa. Like, when you see the PS4 remaster, it's just this gorgeous cel-shaded artwork, and there's no jaggies anywhere, and it's just it just looks incredible, and it makes it totally worth playing through again.
I mean, I think the original one's even worth playing through again, but
sure,
it's because those jaggies and stuff don't really hurt this game. It's just this weird paper crafty look to it. But yeah, I know what you're talking about with the remaster. It is a significant boost. Like, I would definitely play that over the PlayStation version anytime.
Yeah.
And the PSP version was pretty decent too. You know,
it was great.
Just Parappa.
It was portable Parappa.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. What could be wrong?
You rapping good.
It's on a UMD. That's what could be bad. What could go wrong.
That's the thing. That is what could possibly go wrong.
Thank you, Bubsy. next up, we had Civilization 4 on PC.
Sure.
I wrote it down because I know it was an important game. I've never played Civ. I hear the people who have played it love it, and more power to them. I'm sure it's fantastic.
But it is not Super Mario Strikers Charged, Chris.
No, it is not. And I'm so sad that this game did not sell, because Super Mario Strikers is so great.
It really is.
It's like they crossed soccer with Mario Kart. Because it's soccer with Mario Kart items, and it's freaking freakishly violent.
That like, doesn't sound easy to play.
You know what? It's not. And Strikers Charged had these like unblockable ultimate auto score moves almost.
Ugh, that's not okay.
But they were evenly distributed, so it wasn't like one team was consistently auto-scoring on the other one. It's like, you get this one move, and like, fire goes into the character's eyes, and they do this crazy, insane cutscene where the ball flies at the goalie and then blows them up, like, and you score.
That makes sense. Because
the goalie's dead.
Because you have killed one of the players on the pitch. That's probably
a red card, I would imagine. This delightfully chaotic soccer game, like, kind of, you mentioned Red Card, like, it was almost like that, like, they took that Blitz game, like Red Card 2000, whatever the heck, when they were doing all those sports. It's like a super arcadey style soccer game, as you would expect it to be, but like, they raged up all the characters. Like, everybody's super aggressive, and they're wearing armor, and they're running around throwing bombs and red shells at each other while you're trying to play soccer, and it's stupid fun. Like, I really, really liked this game, and I loved the original on GameCube, and it did well enough that it got a sequel on Wii, and that one, it did like moderately okay, but it was also one of the first online Wii games, which was not a pleasant experience.
No.
It was very, 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 very laggy. But in local multiplayer, this game was a friggin' blast, and I'm sad that, I understand that something like this doesn't sell like hotcakes here in America, but I feel like this game must have just not done super well all over the world, because we haven't seen this franchise since, and you'd think Mario plus the most popular sport in the world would equal success.
You would think so.
Mario sports games, they keep making them. This game is so stupid fun. Like,
I don't know. Soccer games are hard, though. Like, soccer games are hard because people that play soccer games are playing like for real Sims of soccer, you know, like,
well, yeah, but like this game was nowhere near marketed like that. Like, you know, you're not getting a realistic soccer sim from Mario Strikers, which is why I loved how it was so over the top. And the art direction was great for this too, because you had all these like really crazy over the top aggressive versions of the Mario characters, but they weren't like extreme. They were just angry, and the art direction was really, really clever for it. And yeah. I guess I get that this isn't really aimed at your average soccer player, but like, it's just stupid fun. And that's the kind of the reason that Mario sports games sell, which is why I don't understand how this didn't connect more with people.
Well, the baseball one didn't really sell either, did it?
Oh, well, the first one did on GameCube, and then they made the sequel on Wii. And
let's be honest,
the sequel on Wii was legitimately nowhere near as good as the original, and it also had crappy motion controls.
Nothing on the Wii was popular. I mean, like, that, you know, outside of like the big couple of games, but like, there just wasn't a ton of sales for anything on the Wii.
Some games, I mean, yeah, you've got something like Mario Strikers that didn't sell a shitload of copies, but you've got...
I'm saying like outside of the Zelda and Mario Galaxy, like niche games like this just didn't sell.
I know there's examples of a few that did, but by and large, you're right. Like, yeah. they should have, but they just didn't. And made me sad. But I loved Mario Strikers Charged. If you can track down a copy of it, track on the copy of the original GameCube one, but if this one's easier to find, then go for it. Play Strikers in some way, shape, or form, because it's freaking fun. It's stupid.
I'll play it at your house.
And the last game worth noting from July 2007 was Picross DS.
Yeah, I've never played it, so, I mean, you know, I know.
I freaking love Picross. I'm obsessed with Picross.
I know you are.
This was the first Picross game that came out in the United States since Mario's Picross on Game Boy. It was 13 years later when I finally got a sequel to Mario's Picross in America. And they made a bunch of them in Japan, and they finally released a new Picross game, and it was everything I had hoped it would have been. It was so good. I was so happy to have new Picross puzzles because I kept playing Mario's Picross for 13 solid years. There was never a long stretch of time where I didn't have that game somewhere near me. Like, once every like year or 2 years, I would just, you know, time to play Mario's Picross again, and I just go through every puzzle in the game again. I absolutely love Picross. And then like later they did Picross 3D, which is even crazier, but just standard two-dimensional Picrosses. There's like 13,000 of these games on the 3DS eShop for like a couple bucks a pop, which are great. Like, I'll never run out of Picrosses. It's so good. It's so good. Picross DS was great, and I wanted to do cartwheels. And the DLC, the DLC stages, there were DLC puzzles in it that were from Mario's Picross, and they had like new fancy versions of the Mario's Picross music, and it sounded so good. God, I love Picross. Way too excited about this puzzle game.
You really are. I mean, to be fair, I love puzzle games.
Puzzle and Dragons,
You know, like, it's okay. I've been talking about that game for quite a while, and with no signs of stopping. So, you know, I mean, it's not 13 years yet, but we'll see.
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. All right, we're going to take ourselves a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about games from 20 and 30 years ago. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com, so stick around. And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com. Geekade and the Colon Cancer Alliance are teaming up once again for the Pain in the Assathon 2017, featuring games like Comic Zone, Mega Man Unlimited, and Zelda Wand of Gamelon. Several Geekade personalities, including Dan and myself, will be playing Pain in the Ass games to raise money for colon cancer research and prevention. The event will begin at 10 a.m. on August 5th and end at 10 a.m. August 6th. That's 24 hours of nonstop Pain in the Ass video games. Stay tuned to Geekade.com for more details.
Invader Zim was quite an interesting cartoon, and thanks to its unique design and memorable characters, it's earned itself quite the cult following over the years. Unfortunately, much like many other shows with cult followings, Invader Zim was canceled all too quickly, and that means that Geek Age's Trish Reyes has an excuse to write about it. Check out Before Their Time, Invader Zim. Invader Zim, Before the Urken Armada Arrives to Destroy Us All. Fucking love this show.
Me too. Absolutely love that show.
It's delightful. Everything about it.
Is there bacon in the soap? I made it myself!
Wait, but,
next!
But no, they're tall?
But
they're stupid. But they're tall? That's so funny.
Their government is based on height. just genius.
Is it next. Any worse than ours, Chris? Come on. Worse?
It's better.
It is better.
I would vote for the almighty tallest. Next, Geekade has a new comic book podcast. Did you hear that, Dan?
Yeah, it's the Bags and Boards podcast. Nick and Dan, right?
Newcomers Jordan and Brendan are longtime comic book fans who have spent countless hours reading and discussing all things comic books. Now, thanks to the miracle of modern technology and the information superhighway, aka the internet, you too can listen in on these conversations, which have been recorded for your listening pleasure. For their debut episode, the guys talk about the well-regarded, at the time at least, Venom Separation Anxiety, followed by some discussion about the latest season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was fan-freaking-tastic, BT-dubs. Catch new episodes every other Tuesday and start this week with Nonstop Comic Shop Episode 1. You gotta keep them separated. Not enough Offspring references. We'll correct that.
Or too many. I'm not sure which it is. There's a very fine line between like 0 and 1 being way too fucking much. I mean, you are pretty fly for a white guy, but you know.
So
finally,
I'm, told.
I'm sure someone has told you that at some point. Finally, Valerian is a big deal. Or, that's what they want you to think. How does this adaptation of the classic inspiration behind Star Wars stand on its own? Hint, don't look at the box score numbers. It's a more complicated answer than you might think. Learn about what works, what doesn't, and what's just plain dumb in Zweer Reviews, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, a.k.a. Valerian and the Eyebrows That Are More Interesting Than Most of the Movie.
It did not do well. I didn't even know about it.
I saw a trailer. Isn't it Luc Besson, too? Like, he doesn't really make bad movies.
Yeah, Alex Zwizek, he's the reviewer. I mean, a spoiler alert, he didn't really care for it.
No one did. That movie cost a lot of money to make, and it was not number one for even a week. Like, yeah. The week it debuted, that's not a good sign.
And you know what? Nobody liked John Carter either, but I did.
I didn't see it.
I dug it. It's pretty cool.
Taylor Kirsch is dreamy.
And, I mean, Willem Dafoe is a, you know, confused Martian, like...
I like the book. I mean, you know, Edgar Rice Burroughs. Anyway,
you can catch all this great stuff, plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at geekade.com. We're back. All right, it's time to hit the 20 and 30 years ago, so let's flash back to 1997, July 1997, Namco Museum Volume 4 for the PlayStation.
Subtitle, the one where we started to run out of shit.
Yeah, this was a C, and then O was just like, I don't know, Pac Universe or some, what the hell was even on Namco
Pac-Mania.
Volume 4?
Or, well, volume four was Assault. Well, okay. Assault's all right. Mm-hmm. Pac-Land, which, no. Ordine.
Oh, Pac-Land was on volume four? No, man.
Pac-Mania was on volume five.
I don't get Pac-Land, man. I don't get that game at all.
It's not good.
I was going to write a whole article about that. It's just like, I still don't understand Pac-Land. No. The only thing Pac-Land is good for is the fucking stage in Smash Brothers. And not that it's a good stage, it's just that it's absolutely confusing. Because you're just, and now you're playing Pac-Land. It just scrolls through the game of Pac-Land, and you're playing Smash Brothers within that game.
Yeah, that's fine. That
it's absolutely hysterical. Oh my god, what's that, Ordine? I don't know what that is.
That was all right, I think.
Return to Ishtar!
The return of Ishtar. Ishtar should have stayed away. And the Genji and the Heike clans.
Like, seriously, we're talking about some all-time classics here.
Yeah, they were really... like, Namco Museum Volume 1 had Pac-Man and Galaga and Pole Position and Rally X. And, like, Volume 2 had fucking Mappy and Miss Pac-Man. And Xevious, and then and volume Galpus. 4 was like,
three was Ms. Pac-Man and Pole Position, and then 4, I don't know, Ishtar.
Ishtar, the return of Ishtar. In case you missed him the first time around.
5 had Pac-Mania on it, but the other ones are all, we'll talk about 5 when 5 comes up, which I'm sure it will in the next couple of months, but
in
Jesus.
The next couple of years, because we're doing this forever, Chris.
We are doing this forever.
This is just... even if we run out of shit completely, we will at least do this once a month in perpetuity until one of us is dead, and then the other one will carry on with a co-host like nothing has changed.
Exactly.
Be awesome.
Dragon Ball GT Final Bout for PlayStation.
Yeah, the game that nobody played, but everybody was like, oh yeah, I totally played. I was like, no, you fucking didn't.
Really?
They made like 7 copies of this game.
Hmm. I had one of them.
I know you did.
I played
I had the other one.
I loved this game because it was the first U.S. release of a Dragon Ball game since besides, you know, Dragon Power for NES.
Which doesn't count.
Because they removed the Dragon Ball-ness from it.
Yeah.
They're collecting the crystals, and Goku doesn't have a tail. And
yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's
This game, though, like, retroactively, it sucks.
Oh, yeah. It sucks.
Because the rest of the games are so much better.
Mm-hmm.
But this was really cool at the time. This was, like, everything you could want.
I mean, it was based on GT, which is balls.
Which is cool. But, I like... oh, fuck you. I like GT.
GT is hot garbage, man.
I like GT.
No. Ugh.
I like
do
Oob.
Not care for...
Just kidding. But like, this Super Saiyan 4 shit was cool, and like, I don't know.
Super Saiyan 4 was dumb, man. They get, like, dark eyes and chest hair and yellow pants, and they grow their tails back. It's
Super Saiyan puberty. I like it.
Really, really dumb transformation. Not that Super Saiyan 3, when you think about it logistically, is a super cool transformation.
No,
like,
they
my
get
hair
Sonic
gets
the Hedgehog
really
hair.
Long.
It's fucking stupid. It was cooler than 3.
No, it was not.
It's not as cool as Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan, but, you know, or whatever the fuck they're calling
it. Super Saiyan Blue is pretty rad. I'm okay with that. But nah, GT was hot garbage. But this game, you know, it was a Dragon Ball game that you could play here in America, and us Dragon Ball fans were really happy to have it. And
it had a lot of characters, and it played relatively well.
Vegeta would say, now hurry and disappear. There is nothing to brag in defeating you. It was a good time, and then it got really super expensive because, like, they didn't make a ton of them, and
that's
then somebody
saying.
Broke
they
into my
7.
House and they stole my copy and sold it to Electronics Boutique, and
what a piece of shit!
And then I had to buy it back, which I didn't. I did not buy that one back because they marked it up to like $150, and I wasn't paying $150 for my own game. But I did eventually get it back, but
you should have just stole it from them.
I should have.
Should have gotten a job there and then stole it.
Then quit.
Like everybody else did at GameStop.
This is my severance. son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. That was cool. This was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, not worth going back to like search out now because the other games are so much better. But
if anything, it's kind of a curiosity to like see what this was like. But yeah, there's way better Dragon Ball games.
And there's about to be one even better.
Oh my God. They announced Piccolo and Krillin and I want to see video of it.
I know.
Oh my God.
I know.
I want that game with every fiber of my being.
I know.
I'm going to buy a PS4 for that game.
I'm so excited that that's the reason you're buying a PS4 and not like Uncharted 3. Or like
nope. Screw the Uncharted games. I'm buying it for Dragon Ball FighterZ and the new Bubsy game.
That's so worth it. So fucking worth it. Oh, God damn it.
Terrible.
You are. That's what I love. All
right. Ace Combat 2.
Fuck yeah. PlayStation.
Yeah, Ace Combat's awesome.
Ace Combat is awesome. And I feel like it's one of those games that like has this insanely dedicated following.
Yeah.
Like people just love Ace Combat. And they should, because it's one of the only games, fuck, it might be the only game like it anymore. You know, Flight Sims used to be a big deal back in the day.
They did, yeah.
And they're
what
just
was the other one? It was
Top Gun.
Yeah, there was the Top Gun games.
Afterburner.
Yeah, that well, Afterburner was pretty far along before Ace Combat, though. Well, there was like another one. It was on Dreamcast. Crap. I can't remember the name of it.
Tiff is whispering Wing Commander at me. But Wing Commander?
Yeah, no, Wing Commander is more space stuff, though.
Well, but it's still like flight shit. I mean, there was a lot more like flying games
at
one point. And then fuck, dude, everybody who grew up in the like 80s and 90s played Flight Simulator on their computer because it shipped with every goddamn computer and you could never land the goddamn thing. You know what I mean? Like you could maybe take off, but like, I don't know. And then there was Crimson Skies on the Xbox, which was fucking great.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
You know, but then they just kind of disappeared except for Ace
Combat. Ace Combat. They kept making them, you know. They made that 3DS game and that did really well for them.
I think there's a PS4 one as well, like a relatively new one, like Ace Combat 93, I think.
You know what really confuses me? They had Ace Combat team make Star Fox Assault. How was that game not amazing?
I don't know.
How did they screw that up?
Because Star Fox empirically sucks and you're all wrong? I mean, that's always been my, you know, bone of contention with Star Fox is that it's shitty.
I could not disagree more.
I mean, you know, like I look at it and I'm like, oh, this game sucks and it's annoying. So like, you know, it's just not good.
I love rail shooters like that. Like Star Fox and Sin and Punishment, Panzer Dragoon.
Oh, don't you dare compare Star Fox to Sin and Punishment. How very dare you?
It's a similar game. It's a rail shooter.
No, one of them is good, and one of them is Star Fox.
You're crazy.
No, that game sucks. I'm sorry. It sucks. The end boss is stupid, and it's ugly. Next. Oh, I'm a big head. Oh, Arya, go away. Stupid.
Yo, all right. So first off, that was awesome in the Super Nintendo game.
Nope.
Way less awesome every time after.
Yeah. Yeah. Got even dumber.
I thought it was awesome in the Super Nintendo game because it wasn't like he was made of, it was like a thing. It was these telekinetic tiles, right?
Yeah.
And the face would form out of those things. And that was, I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm. And then in Star Fox 64, it was just a big head. It was like, and this is Andross's head in floating hands. And I'm looking at it like, wait, what?
Star Fox is as good as Dumb and Dumberer.
Ew.
It's about equally entertaining.
You are incorrect. You are empirically incorrect.
Do
you
a barrel roll.
You are factually wrong.
I'm not going to do a barrel roll. Shut up.
I'm also of the camp that vastly prefers the original Star Fox to Star Fox 64.
Like, Don't get me wrong.
I love the Super Nintendo Star Fox game. I will still play that to this day.
Yeah.
Star Fox 64, I go through and just doesn't have the same. It doesn't have the same feeling to me, and I think a lot of it has to deal with the music because it had that N64 like wah, 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 music to it, which I don't really care for. But the original Star Fox had, there was just something about that game that was really, really interesting to me. And I liked the way that they weren't really trying to make the graphics realistic. It was kind of playing on that whole Virtua Fighter extremely polygonal thing at the time, because that's all that they could do with polygons. But it was, there's just something really neat about that game. And that last, I don't understand how you hate that last boss fight, because I thought it was really, really cool with the swirly colors in the background. And I love that design. And I loved Star Fox 64 at the time, but I have never loved a Star Fox game anywhere near as much as I loved the first one. Like, it just hasn't happened.
Because everybody loved the first one because it was a cute gimmick, and then everybody realized that.
I don't understand where you're getting that from.
Just not good. Facts, Chris. That's where I get from.
It's just not
true. I speak truth to power.
Star Fox is awesome. And I don't know how you can say that that Sin and Punishment is such a different game from Star Fox.
It is, because it's good. Star Fox is like BMX Triple X. Like, they're equally as good. They're neat to look at once, where you're like, huh, that's different. There's tits in this BMX game. Moving on. That's the fucking equivalent right there. It's horrifying how bad that game is.
You are all kinds of wrong. Jesus Christ. This is like BMX. I just have to write that down.
Yeah, it's okay. Fine. If you're... All right. So, all right. Ace Combat, really awesome.
Yeah, Ace Combat 2, hooray. Yes. This next one I have almost nothing to say about, other than I always thought it looked cool, but I never got around to playing it.
I've never played this either.
Yeah, Herc's Adventures for PlayStation and Saturn. This game looked really cool.
Neat.
Yeah, just never got around to playing it. I think I even own it at this point. Right?
I'm sure
I have Herc's Adventures. I'm sure I do. I probably have it on Saturn.
The graphics look pretty cool. Like, it looks like they hold up because they're cartoony and shit. And like,
yeah, and it was a top-down thing.
It's kind of gauntlety. And like,
well, I don't have Herc's Adventures.
I think I don't know. I've never played it.
Yeah, I always wanted to. Never got around to actually playing it. I did get close to playing it once. I put it in our Saturn Interactive when I was at Funko Land.
And then you got fired. They were like, what are you doing? Get Panzer Dragoon Orta back in there. We got to push copies of it.
Hey, Orta was on Xbox.
Oh, whatever.
Fuck, thank you, right Drive Through.
thank you, First Window. This looks
no,
cool.
That it was just like, take out the Saturn Interactive. We're getting rid of this.
We're just, why did we even put this up? This was stupid. Jesus.
Damn it.
What's wrong with this? This looks like something I would emulate and try. I mean, not that I support emulation again, but.
I'm sad I don't have this game. I'm genuinely surprised I don't have this game. I thought I would have had it at least for the Saturn version, but no, I don't have it for Saturn or PlayStation.
Right,
I wonder what this game goes for these days.
Probably not much.
Herc's Adventures.
I'm sure we could snag a copy.
Oh, cool. It's
at
$100
convention.
On eBay.
What?
What? A complete copy is listed for $99, and there's a Saturn disc only, $73.99.
Well, I guess you're not going to play that
game. I guess
I'm
not going to play this game. I'm not paying that. Herc's Adventures for Saturn in a box with no book, $135.
Jesus.
How did this happen?
I got a perfectly boxed non-greatest hits copy of Suikoden 2. I'll trade you for Herc's Adventures.
This game does look real sweet.
Like, it does.
I'm interested in it.
All right, we'll put it on the summer series for next year.
And play it how?
Through a fucking emulator, Chris.
Oh, PlayStation, like, first, Saturn emulators are, like, god-awful, and PlayStation is really hit or miss.
No, the PlayStation ones are fine, for the most part.
Yeah, I guess this game wouldn't be too complex, so.
No. I mean, they really don't have many problems with the PlayStation's shit at this point.
That's good. It's true. It's N64 is more problematic than PlayStation.
I've never had any issues, but.
I have.
Yeah, well,
first game I fired up on my Raspberry Pi was just like, nope. I tried playing Beetle Adventure Racing on Raspberry Pi, and it worked for like, I don't know, 3 minutes, and then like everything started literally falling apart, and I was driving into the sky.
Wow, I've never experienced. Are you using Dolphin?
No, I'm just using whatever N64 emulator is in. Oh. The Dolphin is a GameCube emulator.
Yeah, but I thought it played N64 stuff too. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
The one I have plays fine.
Interesting. I mean, everything anyone's ever told me about N64 is there's a handful of games that work on it and most of the games don't.
Project 64 is good.
Are you using that on a Pi or on your computer?
On a computer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a Raspberry Pi.
I
just have a computer that, you know, I didn't see the need to buy another computer to do the thing that I was already able to do.
I see.
I mean, you know.
Not that you do that.
Not that I do that. But if I were going to do such a thing as emulate a game that I obviously own the copies of the games that I emulate.
Indeed. Every one of them.
Naturally. I own 7 copies of Herc's Adventure. All right. So let's
move on to, and this I just thought was fun. Madden 98 and NFL Game Day 98, because there used to be a time when there was competition in football games.
Multiple.
And it wasn't just
games.
Madden.
Yeah.
I
mean,
remember Madden and Game Day. Those were like the two big ones way back in this time, because this was pre-Dreamcast.
Right, so and, this was pre the 2K series.
Yeah, there was like a couple other ones like Quarterback Club and whatnot, but those were terrible. No, every year it was just, you know, Madden Game Day, and we'd had the two PlayStation Interactives and the Funko Land. We put them next to each other, and on the day they came out, and people would come in and just compare the two of them, like, oh, which one's which?
And then everybody would buy Madden.
Yep, there'd be like a sect of people that'd be like, yo, I gotta get Game Day. It's $10 less, and then everybody else would buy Madden.
Yeah, Madden certainly won. And then, like, it used to be fun. I don't know, I've been so over football games for so long.
Yeah, I ever since it became just Madden, it's lost all of its luster from, like, I would never buy them, but I was always interested in them every year because I would love watching the companies try to outdo each other on, you know, which game was better. And now it's just like, well, Madden's just Madden. We don't really have to do anything.
Now
you're the only game in town.
You've got new rosters, so that's cool. And you're going to buy this shit anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the last game that I'm going to throw out on our 1997 was Ogre Battle for PlayStation, which is
awesome.
Yeah, Ogre Battle's fantastic. I have not spent much time with it. My friend Sean has spent all the time with it.
It's very good.
This was, if I'm not mistaken, this was basically just a remaster of the original Super Nintendo game, right?
Just looks a little better. Sounds a little better. But, like, it's a tactical RPG. Like, if you like Final Fantasy Tactics, here you go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, tactical RPGs are not for everybody. But if you have the time to dedicate to it and really, like, learn the battle system, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And the Ogre Battle 64 has one of my favorite subtitles of any game ever, which is Person of Lordly Caliber.
That's a fucking terrible subtitle.
Somebody wrote that down.
It's not
like
good.
In a fancy font and put it on a box and called a game for sale in America, Ogre Battle 64, Person of Lordly Caliber.
Yep, not good.
And
not
they expected it to
name.
Sell, and it did not.
They were very wrong.
They were. They were very wrong.
They were incredibly wrong in their assumptions.
All right, let's jump back to 1987. This is where, in my mind, the coolest shit lies.
Oh, absolutely.
So Double Dragon hit arcades in July of 1987, from what I've come to understand. I could be wrong on this one, because some arcade release dates are a little harder to nail down. But in my notes, I have this listed as something that came out in America in July of 87, and I love Double Dragon.
Fuck yeah, Double Dragon's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, Double Dragon's awesome. They're, like... If you grew up in the 80s, you loved Double Dragon. Like, that is just a fact of your biology. You're like a fucking weeping angel. You're quantum locked into fucking loving Double Dragon. It's so good. It's so good. There's nothing bad about it.
I played the NES game before I played the arcade game. And
really?
I was really, really weirded out by the arcade game because it's so slow. Like, I thought there was something wrong with the arcade machine that I was playing, but no, it's actually just that slow. But once you get used to it, there's just something really great about the opening sequence of this game is just so ridiculous. It's like there's a woman in a red dress standing there. Three guys walk up. One of them just punches her in the gut.
Shit out of
her. Puts her over his shoulder and walks away. And then you come out of a garage and you and your brother beat up everybody.
Everybody.
Where are the police? Where's anyone else? What universe does this game take place in? You just, and now these guys are going to come out and they're just throwing knives and dynamite at you.
Yep. it's just a fucked up city.
Like, murder it is a left fucked and up right. Place to live. And like, how do you get from place to place in this game? Like, all right, stage one, you're in the city streets. All right, cool. Stage two, you're in a construction site. Cool. Stage three, you're in the fucking woods. And yep. There's like wooden bridges over rivers. And yeah. Then these giant guys bust out of a mountain. And then you go into a cave and it's changing colors. And wow, shit just got really weird.
Shit didn't have to make sense back in the day.
This is actually one of the earliest things I wrote on the Stardust Gamer blog. I was really proud of this one. It was Double Dragon, that got weird. And I just kind of pointed out how weird this series got as it went along. Like, Double Dragon 2, you're like, alright, it's cool. Alright, first boss disintegrated. That was weird. He's like a mask, and then he came... reformed himself, but all right, and he kind of stay in like relatively normalcy, and then like the end of the game is in fucking space or something, like some quantum field that's like a parallel universe, and there's like, I was really weird. It's like, I think it's all in their head, but still, it's bizarre.
I hope, and then, like, so.
Double Dragon 3 was all like, you're traveling across the world to get the sacred stones, or in the arcade game, the Rosetta Stone, because I guess they're going to learn how to read in different languages.
They're
going to
learn Spanish.
Yeah, they're going to learn Spanish.
They should have just gotten Mumsy or whatever the fucking that blue thing was.
Yo, Mugsy.
Mugsy, there you go.
No, it wasn't Mugsy. Was it? I don't remember, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. It doesn't matter.
The joke is way funnier after we explain it.
The only thing I know how to say in French, because I remember from the Muzzy. That's it, Muzzy.
Thank
from
you.
The control from the commercial.
Edit.
Hey, like, Double Dragon 3, you're fighting mummies, and Super Double Dragon 4, I think, was kind of more based in reality, and then Double Dragon 5 was based on that awful cartoon, and it was a one-on-one fighting game.
Great.
No,
it was
the
best cartoon ever. They all had
Street Fighter was the best cartoon ever.
They had fucking metal kick pads on. It's like, what are you doing? Jesus, you would hurt yourself. That's why, like, every soccer, like, never mind. Don't get me into it.
Double Dragon was great. Double Dragon the arcade was great. That was the first Double Dragon game.
Yes,
hooray. Next up, Leisure Suit Larry and the land of the lounge lizards. Boy, that was hard to say.
It was.
Wow, Leisure Suit Larry in the land of the lounge lizards. There, I got it.
There you go. Much better. Second time around.
Which one is this? Is this the first one?
Yes.
This is the original Leisure Suit Larry.
I adored this game. I would go over to my buddy Nick's house in the court. My development, because that's what we call subdivisions in New Jersey. For the rest of you listening around the country, we have developments, and I would ride my bike or skateboard down to my buddy Nick's house.
Was it a Nash skateboard?
No, it was a fucking like Tony Hawk board.
Oh,
it was a fucking Powell Peralta. I think
I was gonna say, yeah, that was pre Tony Hawk era,
yeah.
Right?
Well, Tony Hawk was still a big deal in '87, I think. But
was he? Isn't Tony Hawk like kind of only a little bit older than us?
No, he's like 50. I don't know. Look it up.
Yeah, I don't know.
But like, I don't know. It's like, I think it was a Powell Peralta board. It had like the fucking skeleton dude like ripping out of the shit. That's a very descriptive.
I read this great story about Tony Hawk. Where he was at an airport and he showed his ID and they're like, Tony Hawk, like the skateboarder guy, right? And he was like, yeah. They're like, I wonder whatever happened to that guy. And he's like, he's getting on a plane.
He's getting on a plane right now. I just, as you're talking, I'm typing into Google and it said Tony Hawk and it said age. Yeah, he's 49.
All right.
Yeah, shit. Huh. His kid is 24. Anyway, so yeah, he was a big deal in 87. Anyway, I would go over to my friend Nick's house, and it was just the coolest thing to be able to make a video game character have sex with another video game character and then die of AIDS because you didn't fucking put a condom on. It's like, oh my god, this is ridiculous. Yeah, I'm looking at my I'm looking at my Powell Peralta fucking logo right now. It's the skeleton dude ripping the shit. That's the best way to describe it. It was the old fishtail skateboard. I loved it. Fucking cool. Anyway, this game was awesome. And like, cause like King's Quest and shit, and like all of those Sierra games back then, like the they were just really, really fucking cool. And this one was the adult version that you weren't supposed to play if you were a kid, because there was like real life shit in this, you know. Mm-hmm. And like you could walk into the bathroom and disturb the guy who was taking a fucking dump in the stall, and he'd get all mad at you, and you had to give a password to get into this club, and you pay a hooker, and this is all in like the first 3 minutes of the game.
And like, now it, this is all escalated. We're not talking quickly. Grand Theft Auto. This is all done tongue in cheek, because like, this is a comedy.
Oh,
game.
It's hysterical! It was so funny. And, like, I think that's why I like this game and not the Grand Theft Auto series, because this was funny, supposed to be funny. It was supposed to be ridiculous and over the top. Like, in 1987, there weren't a bunch of dudes sitting around going, you know, it would be fucking awesome if we made this dope-ass game where you could kill hookers and shit. Like, they were just, they were making this silly game, and it was fun. You know, and now, like, it, there's no fun in, like, the Grand Theft Auto like there was in Leisure Suit Larry. Now, to be fair, the Leisure Suit Larry series continued and got progressively worse, including 3D versions of this game that were not good.
Oh, yeah.
On, like,
I forgot
what was
about
it?
Those.
Original they Xbox and PS2.
And they, like, redesigned the character, and he looked like a weird, chibi, big-headed...
He looked like, in your mind... If I said, like, picture Danny DeVito, but sexy, you would get the redesign of Leisure Suit Larry.
I was thinking Jimmy Neutron, but old.
Well, you know, that's not what I fantasize about. I fantasize about sexy Danny DeVito, but you do you, boo.
God, which one of us came out on top in that one?
You know,
neither one of us. We should both be ashamed.
You know I'm a power top, Chris. Come on.
All right, it's nothing but heavy hitters from here on out.
No.
Metal Gear came out for MSX in Japan. The original Metal Gear happened.
Fucking love this game. Love this game so much. I love everything about it. I do. I mean, we have covered
Metal Gear
extensively on this show. But goddamn this game. There's nothing. There's still nothing like this game. There's nothing like it.
Metal Gear 2, Solid Snake was like...
Well, other than other games in the franchise, Chris.
Yes, you're right.
I mean, it's so brilliant. It was so different and so mature without being, like, even with the ridiculousness of the characters and whatnot that are in Metal Gear, there's still a maturity to the storytelling that other video games simply did not have for a very, very long time.
And, I mean, I don't know about you, but I didn't know about this. I knew the NES game, because what did I know about an MSX game that came out in Japan in friggin' 1987? And even the NES game, which is essentially a bastardized version of the original game, is still great. Like, there's a lot to love about that NES game. And if you've never played the MSX version, there's really nothing wrong with the NES game besides the translation.
Yeah, no, the MSX version is
It is indeed, and has been made readily available through many a Metal Gear collection over
the years. It certainly has.
Which is fantastic. So, yeah, hooray for Metal Gear. 30th anniversary this month.
Yeah. Son of a
According
bitch.
To my notes. I mean, I could be fucking wrong. I don't know.
According to some dude I met in an alley.
Meet a guy in an alley. In Absecon, New Jersey, because there's so many alleys here, and be like, yo, when Metal Gear come out for MSX in Japan?
He was like, I don't fucking know, 1987? Fuck off. Do you want this heroin or not? Oh, wait, you said Absecon, not Pleasantville. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Jesus
Christ. You know. Anyway.
Also this month in also this month, Kid Icarus came out on the NES here
what
in America.
Fucking horrible game that is. Hate it.
I'm going to take a copy of Kid Icarus and I'm going to put it between two copies of Star Fox and I'm going to shove them up your ass.
I fucking love Kid Icarus. You know that.
I know you do. Yes, I know you do.
You know me.
Yes.
Come on.
Kid Icarus is fantastic.
Kid Icarus really is fantastic. And why? Like, the game was popular. The Game Boy game was popular. Like, for all records that we have, they sold well. Why did it take so fucking long to come out again? Nobody had a good idea. Like, nobody.
I don't know why it didn't hit Super Nintendo. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, with all of the shit that is on Super Nintendo and N64 and GameCube and
Wii, that was it. Like, if we're following the Metroid trajectory, I understood why Metroid didn't hit N64. You know, because they fussed around with it and said, no, this doesn't work.
It's just going to look ugly.
You know, and then it worked on GameCube with Metroid Prime, and hooray for that. But yeah, I don't understand why Kid Icarus just went away. And
why do we still not have a proper console Kid Icarus?
I don't know, man.
Like,
Kid Icarus Uprising was awesome.
It was. It looks awesome. I still haven't played it. But it, like, if that were announced for the Switch, I would have, like, if that were a launch title, I would have a Switch.
They're not launching a fucking system with Kid Icarus. Hell no.
But I'm saying if it would have been alongside, like,
yeah, that would be enough
for me.
I would love for there to be a new Kid Icarus game. And, you know, I can't complain too much because Kid Icarus Uprising did happen. Pit is in Smash Brothers, so it's not like the franchise has had more love recently than F-Zero has, but still, it's been a while. Wouldn't mind getting a little Kid Icarus action back in my life because it's a good franchise.
It is.
Good characters, good world.
And it was just such a cool game. Like, the journey that game took you on from going, mm-hmm. like, in the verticality of the original, you know, of the first stage and whatever, and then it turns into a fucking side-scrolling shooter, and it was just, I was awesome. You get the reflecty shield. You can beat that fucking dude at the end.
The thieves jump out and steal your shit.
That was fucked up.
There's so much weird stuff in this game. Like, you're fighting Groucho glasses with giant noses flying around a room. The game is so bizarre and so kind of funny. Like, you get turned into an eggplant and you have to go find a nurse's station in a labyrinth that's mm-hmm. only purpose is to cure you. I friggin' love Kid Icarus.
I do too. And, it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's a great
30
game.
Years ago.
It's a great fucking game. Great music.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
Great Hiptonaka soundtrack. Just, gorgeous. Love it. One more of it. All right. Speaking of awesome music, NES version of Rygar came out.
Yes.
In
you and I will always have such a lovely connection over this game. It's still one of the nicest things anybody has ever done for me. And it's such a silly thing too for like that to be one of the nice. I don't know what that says about my life, Chris. I mean,
I was just gonna say, like, I mean, it's a very fond memory that I have. But if that's one of the nicest things I've ever done for you,
but like,
I feel that I failed as a friend.
You really have, Jesus Christ, Chris. You really need to step it up. No, like, I adore this game. I adore the connection that you and I have over it. Like, it is one of my fondest memories of our friendship, not to get too fucking sexy about it, but, like, it is just one of my fondest memories, and for a game...
I think you do need to tell what that is.
I'm burying the lead. Like, I had been dating a girl for a very, very long time, and the breakup was very nasty and very hard to go through, and I came over to your house and I was very sad, and you were like, what would cheer you up? And I was like, I've never seen anybody beat Rygar. I've never gotten even fucking close to beating Rygar. And you were like, we're fucking doing it now. And we played through it, fucking beat Rygar. And it was amazing. And like, that doesn't sound all that big of a deal, I guess, but it really was at the time. And it brought me such joy in a moment of like, man, this is fucked up. Like, some shit's going on. Like, it was a bad situation all around. Like, I was not in a good place at the time. And man, it was such a cool thing. And I love this game. And I loved it then, even though I could never fucking get through it.
I remember one of my thoughts that went through my head when we were getting ready to play that game was like, yeah, I've beaten Rygar before. I wonder if I can still do this. And I'm going through the game like, where is this? There's the rope. That's where the rope is. That's and you got to get this thing. And that game is obtuse as hell.
Oh, it does not give you any hints whatsoever. Those bald fuckers up on the pillars can go pound sand. They are completely unhelpful. That third eye they have doesn't see shit.
The grappling hook in this game is so rad, especially in the points where you just like, I used to do this when I was a kid. I would just go on stage, just throw the grappling hook and see if I'd grapple onto something. And occasionally you would. You'd just like grab onto something and be like, oh shit, there's a giant castle with a lion head floating in the distance there. This game is amazing.
Because why not? So much better than the arcade version, too.
Yeah, arcade version's kind of crap.
Yeah, I don't love it. I've tried to go back and play it. It's just so simple.
There's like almost nothing to it.
It's just not as good. Like it certainly looks better. Which isn't to say
that this game doesn't look good. I mean, it's arcade graphics. It's got more colors on screen, but for an NES game, especially at the time, this was a really good looking game.
I love this game. I love it. The monsters designs are really cool. The stage designs are really cool.
It's got great music.
It's got excellent music. It plays really well. The disc blade is a really fucking cool weapon, and like feels really good while you're using it. Like there's a weight to it. And
it's strange to say that about an NES sprite, but there's a real weight to it, and you feel like the kind of damage it does when it hits things. Like the way things bounce off of your shield when you attack them really feels good.
I love this game. We should have put this on the summer series. I mean, I wouldn't finish it. I'd have to come over your house. But, you know, actually, this should be in the fucking Pete-a-thon. Not because it's a bad game, but it is certainly a pain in the ass.
It is kind of a pain in the ass. I'm really excited about next week's show talking about these games, but we'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah. This is a great, great fucking game.
So we got one last one. Probably should have mentioned this before Rygar, just because it's cool, but it's not as cool. That's Solomon's Key for NES.
Oh, shit. I didn't even see that one. I was like, what are you talking about? Is this a hidden game? It's down there on the next page of notes.
Yeah, weird page break if you're looking at this not on your phone. But
right.
Solomon's Key for NES was another Tecmo game. This was actually a really, really faithful arcade port because there was no reason not to, because this was one of those arcade games that just had a lot of value to it. It wasn't super simplistic. Like, you know, Tecmo changed around a bunch of their arcade games and they ported them to NES. Like Ninja Gaiden is just, it's 100%
different.
Yeah, it's not even the same game at all. Like the Ninja Gaiden arcade is basically a Double Dragon clone.
Mm-hmm.
And that could not be further from what the NES game is. And Rygar also got a complete changeover. Like, at freaking top view stages in it, for crying out loud.
So
like,
cool.
Rygar's awesome. Solomon's Key was pretty straight up the same.
Yeah, like, I'm looking at pictures. I don't know that I've ever played this. Like, I know what it is. Like, I remember the artwork very distinctive. Like, it had really cool box art, but I don't think I've actually ever played it.
It's really good. You're a little dude, and you can only jump. It's a puzzle platformer, basically.
Yeah.
You have a magic wand that can create and destroy blocks, and it's just about trying to get a fairy and a key, and then getting to the door and getting out of each room before time runs out. And things will kill you very easily. You don't have much in the way of offensive capabilities, but you know you can create as many blocks as you want and destroy them and break them with your head from underneath. It's a really cool game. I've never gotten super far in it because it's pretty hard. And I have also not put much time into the arcade version. I actually downloaded it on Wii Virtual Console just for the kicks of it. I was like, holy crap, the arcade version of Solomon's Key is on. I'll pay $8 for that. Sure, why not? And
I'm rich.
And I did, and I played around with it, and I was like, oh shit, this is exactly the same as the NES game. Now I feel like kind of an ass. It doesn't even look all that much better, but it was a unique experience I had to pay for.
Yeah, I must have played this at some point. Like, I'm sure I rented this at some point and was like, oh, I don't know. Never mind, take this back. You know, back when you could rent the games for like 1, 2, or 3
That's
days.
How I felt about Mighty Bomb Jack. I did not get or care for that game in the least.
Nope, I don't care for it either. Load Runner, same thing.
Me and my friend Adam rented that game. I was like, nah. Yep, nope. No.
Not for me. I mean, I'm sure there are people that love Mighty Bomb Jack. I'm sure there are people that swear by Solomon's Key. I know there are people that swear by 3D Load Runner.
Yeah, there's some Load Runner fans out there. But that was the thing. Mighty Bomb Jack had that Tecmo logo on top. And Tecmo had sold me so hard because I loved Solomon's Key. I loved Rygar. I loved Ninja Gaiden. It's like, fucking Mighty Bomb Jack? All right, I'm in. It says Tecmo on it. I got to try it. And I was like, what the hell is this?
Tecmo made fucking dope ass games.
They did Star Force, another good one.
Whatever happened to them?
They merged with Koei and now they just make Dynasty Warriors games.
Is that all it is? Like they sold to them and
because I mean I don't know what else they do. I mean they were releasing Dead or Alive games for a while.
That's what I'm saying.
Cool
like there's
Ninja
no
Gaiden thing, but
there's no like soul to them anymore. Like all of these old franchises just well, I don't know. Like Fatal Frame is around.
Oh yeah, yeah. Fatal Frame's still
Fatal
around.
Frame's one of theirs.
And I mean they are rocking the Warriors games. Like those people who like those games. They freaking made they got to make Hyrule Warriors for crying out loud, which is I don't believe a great game, but a hilarious game.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like when I say like what happened to Tecmo, I mean like what happened to all of this stuff that they used to do. They don't seem to do anything
anymore. That's the kind of the story of a lot of, I mean, they're doing better at that kind of stuff than Konami, I suppose, but
well, that's true.
You know, look at everyone from that time, you know, Capcom, Konami, these are all like shells of their former selves.
That's
I mean,
so
Capcom
weird.
Still tries to an extent, but even them, you know, We've talked about how we think the new Marvel vs. Capcom game looks, and they crank out Monster Hunter games like there's no tomorrow, and they do a good work with Resident Evil from time to time, but, you know, they're not putting Captain Commando out.
Yeah, and they really should. It's a show for another time. We'll talk about Tecmo, old school Tecmo.
Man, can you imagine what a modern take on Captain Commando could even be?
It could be the best thing ever.
How do you sell a game with a baby in a giant mechanical suit anymore? Like, how do you even sell that?
I think it sells itself, quite honestly. Just baby in a giant mech. I'm in.
Sold.
Done. Yeah, Star Force, fucking dope.
Right, that's going to be our show.
Yeah, but not for nothing, you were right. 30 years ago, this month.
Yeah, this was a good month. Usually when we get to this point, we're just like, hey, almost nothing.
Yeah.
But this was the one where I was like, oh, crap, there's some real good stuff this month. Some good stuff to talk about.
It really, really was.
Really want to play Rygar.
Yeah.
It's a damn good game.
All right, I'll be over.
Take all right, cool.
Call out of work tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Sweet.
All right, that's our show. Join us next week when Dan and I will be doing a Pain in the Assathon preview. We're going to discuss all the games that we'll be hitting up during the marathon, what makes them a pain in the ass, and which games we expect to see beaten and which ones we expect to result in hilarious failure.
Spoilers. Bubsy.
So Bubsy and probably Dan and I are not going to beat comics.
No, we're not. It's just that we don't even have to.
I'm trying, but I'm still.
Oh, I'm
still
trying.
Not even 100% sure it's possible.
I feel like
every playthrough online is a lie.
Everybody's using a fucking modded game. Bunch of bullshit.
Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram @Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter @the_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm @GeekadeChris, that's Geekade KRIS, and Dan is at
Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher. Or if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making this show listenable for all you folks. And we'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com, where we post new stuff all the time.
Every single day.
That's it, everybody. And every single day, we try to post things. It's just, there's no good way to say this, because we post something every day except Sundays.
Yeah.
We take Sundays off because Submitter for Your Approval went away, and we don't have anything to replace.
I don't know. Let's move Why I Love Wrestling to Sunday.
There you go. Then there won't be anything on Saturdays.
Shit.
This solves nothing. All right, whatever. That's it, everybody. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.